Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Media Podcast. I'm Trevor Dan. On the show today, live from the Radio Academy Festival 2022, the highlights, takeaways and gossip from the audio industry. Michelle Donnellan becomes the UK's new Culture Secretary. So what's in store for the BBC and Channel 4? Plus, Kantar's EVP for Media Solutions, Jane Ostler, shares her top tips for media marketing. That's all coming up in this edition of the Media Podcast. Well, as you can tell, Matt Deegan's away this week. We wish him all well. Let's, before we meet the panel, though, have a quick look at what's been going on in the media news. An Israeli investigation has found that journalist Shireen Abu Akleh was likely killed by unintentional fire by the Israeli Defence Force. Laura Koosberg's new BBC TV show stole the Twitter sphere as comedian Joe Lycett hailed new Prime Minister Liz Truss. Former President Obama has won an Emmy for narrating the Netflix documentary Our Great National Parks. And BBC Sounds has introduced a new section called Local to Me. The new feature will show programmes and podcasts that people can listen to in their own local area. But on today's show, we're all at the Royal College of Physicians in Regent's Park for the Radio Academy Festival. It's just hit the afternoon coffee break, and I've sat down to catch up with three audio experts. First up, it's radio producer Anne Charles. Anne, for listeners who are maybe unfamiliar with the festival, what's happening today? Who's here from the radio industry and what are they up to?
Well, everyone seems to be here. I think they're mainly talking and trying to eat as much free cake as they can, because that's what we're very good at in the radio industry. It's so lovely to be back in person after having had a couple of years of being virtual. I can't think why that's been, but it's just been the fashion in industry events recently. And what's different this year is, for the first time in many years, we've got a multi-room festival again. So we had quite a few years where it was a one-room event. Back in the day, for those of us who've been coming for a long time, we can remember when it was a multi-day event and multi-rooms. And so now we've kind of got this lovely compromise of a one-day event, but lots of rooms going on, which is great in theory, but of course leads to massive FOMO at all times.
It's star-studded, isn't it? The lineups included Sam Ryder and Scott Mills and Emma Barnett and Charlotte Moore. I mean, what's been the main theme that's emerged for you?
I think there's been lots about the future of the industry. We've had, certainly the sessions I've been in, we've been talking about Gen Z, we've been talking about some technical development. And also it's nice at things like this just to be reminded of the bit of the star-studded spangliness that you can get in radio, that you don't always, you know, all of your friends think that you're doing all day every day when you're really toiling away over a word processor or something, or a document, or a budget.
What is this word processor of which you speak?
Yes, spreadsheets, all of that. So we just had a session, for example, where Stephanie Hurst and Michelle Visage got us all dancing around our bags at the end, and that was brilliant. So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, thanks for that, Anne. Back to Anne in a minute. We've also got Brett Spencer here, man of many hats. Which of the several jobs you're currently doing would you like to highlight?
Oh, wow. I'm working as a digital consultant at the moment on a wide range of different projects, but available for hire if you're listening.
And you've been the Stuart Clarkson of radio today.
I have. I've been live tweeting the event. I normally do it on my own account, but they said, here's the keys to Radio Today Live, which was a bit foolish of them, but I've been doing that today, which has been good fun.
So if the word of the week in British politics has been delivery, what's the word of this festival?
I think for me it's been authenticity, which has been talked about quite a lot today, both in the session about Gen Z, amongst the KISS presenters, by Nikki Campbell and Heidi Dawson in the Five Live session. And a lot of that, I think, comes from the podcasting world, where people are being more authentic and more real, and that's sort of having a big effect on the way people are approaching radio now. And that seemed to be a buzzword in quite a few of the sessions: keep it real, keep it authentic.
Did you get a sense at all that the British radio audio industry knows where the hell it's going?
Well, it's interesting because what we've not really had is sort of a big vision for radio today. Nobody sort of stood up and said, this is where I think radio is going to be in the next 5-10 years. And that's probably the one thing that's been slightly missing from today.
Laura Grimshaw is here. We're delighted to welcome you, Laura. You don't have to be funny.
That's good.
Though you can be. We've heard you be funny a lot.
I have the ability to be funny on occasion, I think.
Now, how long have you been a freelance for?
3 days.
3 entire days. So I expect you were at the Audio UK session about taking the great leap.
I was indeed. Yes, my first 2 sessions today was making the leap into freelancing and networking masterclass, both of which were very helpful this week.
And just tell us briefly, why have you felt this is a good time to leave the BBC? Is it because there's a cost of living crisis?
Yeah. We were talking about this before we started recording. It's probably the worst possible time, but actually it's quite interesting going back to what Brett says about there's not really been like a wholesale vision for the industry put across today. Everything, not just this industry, but everything is really uncertain. So I don't think it's really possible to come up with a solid view of like this is where things are going. So I was at the BBC, I worked at Radio 4 and 4 Extra for 10 years. I don't feel like being outside is more uncertain than being in the BBC or in any section of this industry. I think there's a lot of uncertainty about everything, about whether we'll, you know, be able to heat our homes and eat, you know, it's a huge thing.
Do you think that we as a sector have fully embraced the fact that the BBC and commercial radio are no longer the only games in town? I felt today I was hearing a lot more about what I'm going to call heritage linear radio.
In response to that, contrast today with the podcast show in May, which felt very exciting and very vibrant and very forward-facing and considerably younger than today. Nothing wrong with today. Today's been great, but those two events really are highlighting the differences in the sector.
I think also I was asked in an interview earlier on, what's my favourite radio or podcasting? And I can't really answer that because while they are notionally the same thing in that they are audio, they're also completely different things and they offer different things. And it's that thing of like, you know, I was also at the podcast show and it did feel really exciting and there were loads of different people and, you know, different voices and all of that kind of stuff. I think it's a really interesting time in this industry and also around the world. As I keep saying, I think all the external factors of everything kind of crumbling is sort of affecting how we approach the industry and what we can do with it.
You're a member of the BBC with access to some large funds, but you've been told you have to make a cut. Do you cut Newscast or The World at One, Anne?
That's a very unfair question. I'm not allowed to cut either of those. That's not okay. They're serving different audiences.
Laura.
I mean, that's the thing. They offer different things. But I guess, you know, if you've got to save money, you'd probably work out how efficiently the money's being spent and make the decision that way. So it's probably Watto.
I'm going to answer slightly differently, actually, because it was really interesting to hear Heidi Dawson and Nikki Campbell talking about the strengths of BBC journalism and the connection that BBC News has with its audience. And that comes in a week after we've seen the launch of the news agents and lots of people leaving the BBC to so-called reclaim their voice. So, you know, I think the importance of BBC News in this space is perhaps more important than ever.
Well, more on the festival in a minute, but let's get back to the big week in politics and take a look at some media headlines. Well, no one's surprised to see Liz Truss take the top job, but there was some unexpected news with the resignation of Nadine Dorries as Culture Secretary. Anne, what did you make of Mad Nads, as they like to call her, disappearing?
I don't know who called her that. That's right. I'm sure there will be some people who miss her enormously. I'm not sure how many there will be, but I'm sure there will be some. I think it's been difficult because over the last few years we have not had a culture secretary in place for more than about 18 months tops at all, so none of them's really had a chance to make a particular impression or strategy, other than the times when they say stuff that's stupid and shows that they don't understand the industry. They haven't really had any chance to get across the industry, although I'm sure people who've had any background at all would have a vague idea about how Channel 4's funded. Just
well, Michelle Donnellan's been announced as Nadine Dorries' replacement. How much do we know about her? Hang on. Let's find out in this format-breaking media quiz called, well, True or False. It's seat of the pants stuff here. True or false? Michelle Donnellan holds the record for the shortest-serving cabinet member in British history.
2 days.
Prize to Brett Spencer there, as she was Secretary for Education for 36 hours and then resigned. Well done, Brett. She's been a Member of Parliament since 2010. True or false?
I think she's more recent than that.
I have no idea.
I think Laura wins that with a very tentative false, because she was elected in 2015, so it's been quite a meteoric rise. And here's a clip from the Melksham Independent News. She's launched a petition to reverse the BBC's decision to charge over 75s the licence fee, and she says that the licence fee is an unfair tax and should be scrapped altogether. True or false?
True.
Very true, Anne. True or false, Michelle Donnellan did marketing for the World Wildlife Fund.
True.
I think she did marketing, but I don't think it was the World Wildlife Fund.
Was it the WWF or
WWE? WWE, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. And I'm told the results are in, and you have won the complete lack of a prize by winning by 2-1.
Does that mean that I get to be the culture secretary in a month?
You get to pretend that you've just won a fellowship at the Radio Academy and you have to make a speech with no warning.
Hooray!
No, I won't do that to you. Brett, what's top of Michelle Donnellan's in-tray?
Well, clearly, are they going to sell off Channel 4? That's going to be the thing that most people want the answer to. And I suspect she'll have to come up with an answer pretty quickly. I mean, Channel 4 will be hoping that the Conservative Party have much bigger things to worry about and that maybe they'll kick it into the long grass. But there does seem to be, unfortunately, quite a bit of momentum behind it. But that'll be her top thing, I would think.
Laura, what about the BBC licence fee?
I mean, yes, absolutely. You know, they're going to make announcements about things. Whether anything actually changes, I don't know.
Is it fair to say, Anne, that it's harder to defend the licence fee now than it was 10 years ago?
I think people who hate the licence fee are going to carry on hating the licence fee. There is going to be a constant... There's the thing about the mechanics of it being a licence fee, and then there's just whether the BBC should have any funding at all. And obviously, if you're a competitor to the BBC and don't want to see it do well, then the BBC having any funding at all is considered a terrible idea.
It's getting harder to explain to somebody who's even 40, let alone 30, what the licence fee is for. You know, why are we paying this poll tax for something that's kind of like the Church of England?
We're not really hearing much about how brilliant the BBC is, and in the way that other broadcasters would be reminding us all the time. And there are reasons that having a pot of money that is not controlled directly by government but is done in the spirit of the public as a whole is a good thing, and thus are stories you can tell around that, but you actually have to tell them. And so some of it is down to the BBC needing to say, here's why us having some funding is a good thing.
And if you talk to people outside of the UK, they will say that the BBC is the best public service broadcaster in the world, and they are baffled as to why that anybody in the UK would want to damage it. So you've got to see that as the flip side.
This is the Media Podcast. We are live at the Royal College of Physicians in Regent's Park in London. We're at the Radio Academy Festival 2022, and it's time now for our deep dive. Kantar released their latest data on consumer attitudes to media marketing. Matt Deegan sat down with Executive Vice President of Media Solutions, Jane Osler, to find out which ad platforms are thriving this year. Here she is explaining why there's a critical gap between the preferences of marketers and their audiences.
So our ad equity rankings this year, broadly, show that actually the number one is now sponsored events. Obviously, events took a bit of a backseat for the last couple of years, but they are now the sort of preferred advertising environment. So these real-world advertising environments are now coming to the fore. Second is magazine ads, and third is cinema ads, and even point of sale as well makes a showing at number four. And then the digital channel that comes in at number five is actually digital out of home. And I think
that's like digital billboards.
Digital billboards. And yeah, and we've seen a huge explosion in the type of billboards, you know, 4D environments, huge amounts of creativity going on in digital out of home. So it's a very dynamic and creative advertising environment as perceived by consumers. And when you go to the online channels, looking at the online channels that consumers prefer, and this is around the world, Amazon is the number one this year in terms of ad equity. So around the world, it has the top ranking among consumers for how they perceive their advertising to be useful, and they have positive attitudes towards it. It's followed fairly closely, it has to be said, by TikTok, and then Spotify, and then Google and Snap in the top five. Those are the top five online media brands around the world. But I think it's interesting that those are all environments where advertisers do have to pay attention to the context, and they have to tailor the advertising to those formats and those environments. They can't just use the same digital ad everywhere. So, you know, it's some of the negative things that we find about online advertising, which include things like too intrusive, repetitive, excessive targeting, are actually improving this year. Last year, consumers felt a lot more strongly that more and more digital advertising was intrusive or irrelevant to them. It's important to point out here that attitudes towards digital advertising across all platforms are getting more positive.
I mean, it really shows, doesn't it, that people in the ad sector and brands as well, you can't just kind of create one creative and sort of dump it everywhere across all the channels and all the platforms.
Yeah.
The things people are interested in are things that are very much tuned to the medium that they're consuming. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. And this is something that, you know, we talk about a lot at Kantar. And actually, we have proof that if you have a campaign that is not only coherent, but also customized to each channel, it is actually 57% more effective. We're still seeing, you know, campaigns coming out that we're being asked to look at, where it's effectively the same creative that's running across different formats and different channels. But more and more advertisers are getting to grips with this. I mean, you clearly, you know, TikTok has, I think, sort of slightly changed the game in this, because you clearly can't run the same copy on a TikTok ad. You have to create something special. You have to consider the environment. You're probably going to be using an influencer of some sort. You have to reconsider, you know, you might not have a slogan, you might have a hashtag challenge. So it actually makes advertisers, I think, really rethink the concept of what marketing means on those channels.
That was Jane Osler from Kantar speaking to Matt Deegan. As we explained earlier, Matt should be presenting this podcast, but he's a bit poorly, so get well soon, Matt. Now, you can hear that full conversation, including Jane's advice for media companies planning their marketing strategies for 2023, on our Patreon. And to do that, you have to go to patreon.com/mediapod and subscribe. You'll hear Jane and a host of other full-length interviews from industry leaders and experts there. And the full report's also available on the Kantar website. That's Kantar, spelled kantar.com/media reactions. Well, it's time now for a short break, and we'll be back after this with more from the Radio Academy Festival.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's time to discuss some of the other sessions at the Radio Festival taking place around us here. Charlotte Moore, Director of Content for the whole of the BBC, spent half an hour entertainingly telling us why radio is very important, which I didn't think was really a keynote address. It felt to me like preaching to the choir, because we're the Radio Festival delegates. We know radio is important. She's the one from television who probably should have been consuming it. What does anyone think? Laura?
I'm inclined to agree. I think, like, it was very nice, it was very light, it was very entertaining, but it wasn't a keynote speech, I don't think. It was just a sort of nice introduction to radio. But as you say, everybody here definitely knows that radio is important and how brilliant it is, and I suspect a lot of us know the history and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So it's it was interesting to watch, and, you know, I think it was a sort of, I think Charlotte Moore used it as a kind of shared platform to kind of discuss the old and the new in terms of radio, which I suppose is a good way to start the day.
It felt to me a little bit like the kind of interview that you hear on Radio 4 Today programme, when they say, well, thank you for that question, Nick. What I'm going to do now is give you an answer to a question you didn't ask. And it's, I felt as though what I wanted was, hello, I'm Charlotte Moore, and this is my vision in the next decade. And what I got was, hello, this is a paean of praise to the 100 years that have got us to where we are now. Did you feel let down at all, Anne?
No, I didn't. I feel like I've been in a different session. Maybe because some of you actually read the programme in advance and, like, took it in and really paid attention and planned your day. That might be it. So I wasn't thinking of it as being a keynote. Like, I think, yeah, if I was coming to it thinking it's going to be a keynote and here's the future of radio and here's my vision as the chief content officer, I would have come away disappointed. But because to me it felt like here's a history of the BBC's 100 year history. We had the head of BBC history with some interesting slides and anecdotes and putting the context of the BBC and its 100 years into context. So it was an interesting kind of gentle start to the day. I enjoyed it. The one thing, and I don't want to feel like I'm having a go at Charlotte Moore here, but the one thing that I did bristle at slightly was that at the start, we were talking about the origins of the BBC and the British Broadcasting Company, and quite rightly, the point was being made how instrumental the engineers were to everything in the entire existence of our industry. And then we went down the trap of saying, but then we need to talk about some creative people, which is a slight red rag to the bull, because obviously the engineers are really the most creative people in your building, and I have been a producer too, so I'm not being biased. So can we please not continue the trope that engineers aren't creative? Thank you very much.
And did you hear Robert Seater, the BBC's historian's mistake about Tony Blackburn? He said he came to Radio 1 from Radio Caroline.
Yes. So
he came from Radio London.
If I may plug a programme I've just made. For Absolute Radio, I made Absolute Radio Pirates, which was a history and a celebration of the pirates. And yes, they kind of brushed over quite how big the impact the pirate radio stations had on the start of Radio 1. So they were kind of saying, oh, the BBC were behind, but then they just stole everything from pirate radio. And it's like, well, no, there is a bigger thing here in that pirate radio was set up to break the BBC's monopoly, and so to give an alternative and also to play pop music. And then they had all of these new enthusiastic DJs playing this music, and then once they were banned, they were taken by Radio 1. But it was sort of, I was sort of, yeah, so Tony Blackburn was on Caroline, he started on Caroline, but then he went to Radio London, and Radio London was really his big passion, and that's where he came into his own.
Laura, that's enough about old-time, authentic wireless.
I can go because on
because it's high
and
time
on.
We talked about Gen Z or Gen Z. I know you want to say something, but you can't, Brett.
It fits in nicely off the back of that about the BBC.
I want you to talk about Gen Z or Gen Z. Did you go to the session which revealed that they're more interested in podcasts than they are in linear radio?
I did, and I don't think that was a surprise to anyone. And it was an interesting session, but also interesting that key stat about 32% would rather than listen to that audio that's sort of unedited than sort of quite clean, and 86% think the audio sector's had a great revival. So the fact that you know, Gen Z is engaged in audio, whether it's podcast or whether it's radio, is a really positive thing.
You're nearer to Gen Z than the rest of us, Lauren.
I didn't go to that session, but yeah, I think that I saw kind of similar sorts of talks at like the podcast show earlier in the year. And yeah, as you say, it's like people, young people, are listening to audio. They are consuming audio. So there is a market for it. Just because they're not listening to linear radio doesn't mean they're not listening to radio.
Anne?
And also there were quite a lot of bits that I thought were quite funny, in that a lot of what they were saying that they wanted is what radio does. It's just that we're not necessarily talking about it and packaging it in the same way. They want live reaction, live interactivity. Well, we can do that with radio. They want community. They want unscripted and authentic. Well, actually, we can also do that with radio too. So it's a positive thing overall. I think it's just a case of slightly tweaking what we do and perhaps using different language to pull in new audiences.
One last thing. Is there, Brett, any other business?
I just wanted to say, because you were talking about the BBC, and I think the closest we came to sort of a vision for BBC Radio was Sam Moy in her session about Six Music, and I thought Sam did a fantastic...
She was great, wasn't she?
Absolutely fantastic job of talking to us about a radio station that could only be provided by the public sector. You wouldn't do that in commercial radio. I mean, that jaw-dropping stat she had of commercial radio plays 2,700 new tracks a year and Six Music plays 19,000, I mean, that was incredible. And that is an absolute, you know, vision for what, you know, for what the licence fee is for and what BBC Radio should be doing. And I thought, for me, Sam was the standout session today.
Brett Spencer, thank you. Laura?
My biggest takeaway from today was from a networking masterclass, which was about basically knowing that you have something to offer. So if you're at an industry event, you go into that knowing that you can talk to anybody, you've got a reason to be there, you should just throw your shoulders back, go in and say, I have something to offer, I'm good at my job, and you can interact with anybody. And I thought that was a really lovely way of encouraging people to mingle at an event like this, like actually just go out and talk to people and get to know people, and you don't know where that will take you in your career.
Thank you, Laura. It's been lovely mingling with you. Anne?
I've enjoyed a lot of the sessions. I particularly enjoyed the one talking about the metaverse and getting people to think creatively about how tech is going and how you might have an audio future in there. Even though there's no concrete answers yet, I like the idea of saying go and play with things and see how they work, because that is a very creative thing to do. And also, we've been talking slightly negatively about some of the things that have been happening, but really, I think we've had 2 years of not seeing each other properly. And I remember conferences in the past where it was all, oh, we're all doomed, radio's doomed, audio's doomed, no one's listening, all the young people are doing things, we're not going to have any career. And it's actually really nice to be somewhere where you can bounce ideas around, you can see people, you can be reminded about why we have this job and why we love what we do. And so I've come away feeling very positive and happy. So I'm sorry to go against the grain, but maybe it was Sam Ryder has been rubbing off on me.
It's always nice to see people after being shut in their houses for so long. I said to a former colleague, how's your baby? And she said, five.
Well, Anne, that's all we've got time for. I'd like to apologise for organising some of the conferences where people did say we were all doomed many years ago when I was running the Radio Academy. That is all we can manage. If you've enjoyed this episode, though, show as you mean it by doing any or all of these things. This is what's known as a presenter read. Why not tell your colleagues about the show on Twitter or LinkedIn, and become a patron of the show at patreon.com/mediapod. You'll be able to access an archive of deep dive interviews with media experts. That is patreon.com/mediapod. And of course, follow us to hear new episodes when they drop on your podcast app of choice. You can subscribe at podfollow.com/themediapodcast. My name's Trevor Dan. It says here, plug your wares. I don't think I've got any wares, but I think like Brett and Laura and Anne, we're all available, aren't we, for anything. The producer of this immaculate podcast was Matt Hill, and it was a Rethink Audio production. We will see you next week.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.